And welcome to Be Frank, the podcast where we dive deep into the mental health struggles of African men that are rarely spoken about. I'm your host, Frank Beecham, and I'm excited to start this journey with you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Be Frank. We are on a mission in this series that we are continuing to basically switch up and redefine masculinity on your own terms. My name is Frank, and together we're going to tackle or explore 7 strategies to break free from the constraint of this traditional gender norm that says be a man means this or be a man means that. We are going to explore a more authentic expression of what it means to be a man. So let's lock in and let's dive right in and continue to be frank. Well, the phrase be a man has long dictated how most men, not just African men, have navigated this world. But it's time for us to shift from that, like I mentioned before, and go in and really talk on what we need to be doing in order to redefine this statement or this phrase, be a man. So the first one that I would say is, in my opinion, embracing vulnerability. Did you know that according to a study by the African Mental Health Foundation, men who embrace vulnerability actually report higher levels of life satisfaction and overall well-being. Like, just process that for a second. People who embrace vulnerability are saying that their lives are much better because they've been able to open up or talk some more. We often equate vulnerability with weakness. And we are always saying that if a man should be vulnerable, it means that, well, he is not a man. But did you know that because of this or because of vulnerability, people have strengthened their bonds and relationships and they've grown stronger and resilient in their goals and in their tasks and things that they seek to achieve? Since I always put it into a story form for you, just picture this with me. You are at a gathering. I'm not going to give any character. I'm going to use you listening to me right now. Picture yourself at a gathering with your friends or your family or whoever you like hanging out with. If you don't like hanging out with anybody, that's a different conversation. But picture yourself with friends and family or people in general, and you are going through stuff. It is quite sad to be surrounded by a group of people and still feel lonely. So you being in the midst of these people and you're going through something, and instead of masking your struggles and suffering in silence, you make that bold decision to open up about your feelings and your insecurities. What is the response you get from these people? I'm pretty sure most of us who have tried this in most African homes or some African homes have felt rejected, neglected, judged, or misunderstood. Now, picture that in this scenario that you're in, the response was different. Picture that they showed genuine empathy, not just, you know, saying, oh, okay, this is what you're going through and dismissing it, but they showed genuine empathy and understanding, which builds a deeper bond that you have with them and a sense of belonging. As human beings, that's something that we crave. We crave community. If it's by ourselves, it's a solo community. If it's with other people, That's basically the community we're craving. It's quite sad that you would be around people and not be able to open up. It's something I heard some time back about rich men or women actually say that they don't know they don't know why a guy is approaching them. They don't know if a guy is approaching them because they are genuinely interested in them, or they're just approaching them because they're attracted to them and just want to use them for their bodies or for what they have. And rich people also have the same problems where they feel like, okay, I'm throwing a party full of 600 people, but everybody is here because they want something from me. How many of us would want relationships that feel transactional? None of us. Because you are laughing, you're giggling, you're talking to people, but the whole time in your subconscious or even in your conscious mind, all you're thinking about is, what do they want from me? But if you are in a relationship or in a friendship where you feel no pressure to go out to drink, you think you can be in a friend group and not even touch alcohol, and people still want to hang out with you, you feel valued. If you're a girl and you have a guy who's, you know, talking to you, listening to your mind rather than focusing on your body and all the things they want to do to you, or you're a rich guy who basically has people walking up to you asking for favors, but you have people now who walk up to you, just want to talk to you and, you know, walk away and even bring you gifts and give you your flowers. It feels nice to not have relationships that are transactional. I mean, I listened to an interview of Jay-Z one time where he was talking about going to family cookouts and feeling very uneasy because he has family members walking up to him asking for a favor or asking for something. And because he couldn't, or because he didn't help out, basically people called him selfish and et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of hurts to not even feel safe within your family and feel like within your family, your relationship is transactional. Nobody wants a transactional relationship. And that is how men feel. Men feel like if we are not of use or if you're not needed and we open up and we are vulnerable, people will pull away and not ask us to help out with anything, and we would not be of use in our society. And that will cause us into depression because we have been trained to think that if we are of no use, we are not men. So we believe that the transaction we have to offer is our protection and our provision. So it would be nice to be vulnerable without feeling judged. So in order to redefine what it means to be a man, we need to accept that to be a man means to be human. And if we can accept the empathy, or we can accept the vulnerability of other human beings, let's also accept the vulnerability of men. Second thing is cultivating emotional intelligence. So many of us lack emotional intelligence. Research shows that men who possess high emotional intelligence are better equipped to navigate a challenge and build a healthy, fulfilling relationship. Let's keep pushing to grow the emotional intelligence of our men. Now, emotional intelligence is not just knowing when somebody is sad, or knowing when you are sad, or when you're angry, or knowing when somebody else is sad, or when they are angry, or whatever the case may be. It's not just about understanding your own emotions, or only understanding the emotions of other people. It's about both. It's about recognizing and empathizing with yourself as well as others, and knowing when to do something, or knowing what is going on, and knowing how to help out. Now, imagine a workplace where colleagues communicate openly, listen actively, and they navigate conflicts without HR being threatened or held over their heads. That's a place you would want to go to work every single day. By cultivating emotional intelligence, we are building or creating an environment where people feel safe and healthy enough to talk about their issues, talk about what they're going through, you know, talk about and even understand what they're going through. And I know some of us may be wondering, how do you even build emotional intelligence? Well, first thing I'll say, I'll just give three. First thing is to build self-awareness. Self-regulation is also a big thing. And building empathy. Being self-aware of our actions and our responses and the things that we do allow us to also grow to self-regulate. Because you could be self-aware, but not be able to self-regulate your emotions. So by building self-awareness, by building self-regulation, and by growing empathy, we'll be able to grow our emotional intelligence. Another tip, and this is just by the way tip, you could also try journaling. Try writing down if writing is your skill, or try even recording yourself. And by listening to yourself, you become aware of the conversations that you're having and what your thought process is. But we'll have a whole other episode on how to build emotional intelligence. Now, next one, is really dear to my heart. I had a whole episode about this, is challenging gender stereotypes. If you've not listened to the 7 misconceptions of what it means to be a man, please rewind the tape. If you're hearing this from a friend or something, go on our page, To Be Frank 2024 or To Be Frank Podcast _ on Instagram, and click on the link and listen to the 7 misconceptions of what it means to be a man. We really speak extensively on this. And just to add a little light on this, a report by the African Union Commission on Human and People's Rights reveals that challenging gender roles is essential for promoting gender equality and fostering social justice. Now, by pushing through, we unveil and show that gender stereotypes limit our potential and confine us to narrow boxes of identity that we are growing out of, or we need to grow out of. Think about the expectations that are placed on boys to excel in sports or to even know facts about sports. And by ignoring or neglecting these activities, you're deemed feminine. And I spoke about this in one of the previous episodes as well. By challenging these stereotypes, we are creating a space for individuals to express themselves authentically, free from the constraints of outdated norms. Let's stop telling our girls they can't play some sports. Let's stop telling our boys they have to play some sports. And let's let people just be people. And let's challenge these gender stereotypes. This reminds me of the episode, not the episode, but the scene from High School Musical where this character, can't remember his name for the life of me, said he loves to bake creme brulee. And then this other lady got up and said she likes to break and pop and lock, and people, you know, were saying stay in your lane. But no, let's rise up and break and challenge these gender stereotypes. Now, number 4 is prioritizing self-care. Self-care isn't indulgent. It's essential for maintaining our well-being as individuals in a very demanding world, especially even if you're in school, even if you're working, even if you're home. This world is demanding. Picture this, that you're carving out time each day for activities that recharge your spirit. Whether it's going for a run, whether it is practicing mindfulness, whether it's journaling, whether it's enjoying a cup of tea. Like, I realized that drinking tea at the end of every day was perfect for me. What has been enjoying a cup of tea? By prioritizing self-care, we nurture our mental health and our emotional health as well, which allows us to be able to show up and put our best foot forward in every aspect of our lives. Now, recently, someone really close to me told me that she was, you know, having her own self-care day. And it made me start thinking that, wow, we really do not practice this as Africans even. Let's actually focus on Africans. How many of us can say that, you know, today we are getting up and getting, pampering ourselves, getting a manicure, getting a pedicure, you know, just chilling. Self-care does not necessarily mean go and spend money. You could just, you know, be at home, take a shower, you know, kick your foot up, you know, cook your favorite meal, dress up, put on makeup as women, even as a man. Makeup is really not crazy to say that some men put on makeup. Male actors put on makeup. You know, do whatever makes you feel happy. Carve out that time and prioritize your self-care, because as Africans, we barely do stuff like that. Our basic self-care is get back from work, get back from school, get back from outside, just kick it back in the couch and watch TV and stress about life and think about our problems. No. Do something. Go for a walk. Listen to music. Just do something that makes you feel energized and recharged. So the next one is healthy relationships. Healthy relationships are built on mutual respect, trust, and open communication. Imagine a partnership where both parties feel safe enough to express their needs and vulnerabilities without the fear of judgment. By promoting healthy relationships, we can create spaces of intimacy and support where individuals can thrive and grow together. So the next part is advocating for gender equality. Gender equality isn't just a woman's issue. So many of us, when we hear gender equality, it feels like women are the only ones fighting for gender equality. No, it's not just a woman thing. It's a human thing. It's a human rights issue that benefits everybody. Consider the impact of policies that promote equal opportunities in education and employment. By breaking down these barriers and leveling the playing field, we're able to advocate for gender equality, not just for women as well, but for men as well. We create a more just and equitable society where everyone has the chance to fulfill their potential. We don't just say a woman cannot do this, a man cannot do this. Yes, we understand that everybody is different. There are some things that some women can do, some men can do. There are some things some men can do, some women can do. But we also forget there are some things we both can do. And everything that can be done can be learned. I'm not trying to say that, oh, if I get up to learn how to do skateboard like Tony Hawk or something, or play basketball like Michael Jordan, I will become the next Michael Jordan. No. But what I'm trying to say is we should promote an environment where community, where people are not limited by what society says they are, but they grow to become the humans that they are destined to be. And last but not the least, men, fathers, grandfathers, uncles, I'm speaking to you on this. Lead by example. True leadership begins with authenticity and integrity. Imagine a world where leaders lead not with bravado and dominance, but they lead with humility and compassion. Fathers, imagine leading your home, leading your sons with compassion and humility, saying sorry. fathers saying sorry. Let your sons hear you and know that it's okay to apologize as a man for being wrong. Lead by example. And by leading by example, we inspire others to embrace the authentic selves and create positive change in their communities. Lead by example. On the sorry issue, so many friends of mine have told me that they have never heard their father apologize before. That African parents, not just even fathers, African parents don't apologize. But subconsciously, what are we telling our sons? What are we telling our children? That it's okay to justify your actions and apologize with food and, you know, items and goods, but rather not apologizing and recognizing the emotional damage that we've had and being self-accountable. We need to lead by example. The only way we can redefine what it means to be a man and what it means to be human is by leading by example. So as we conclude today's journey, I want us to remember that redefining masculinity is not a solitary endeavor. It's not a one-man's stuff, but it's for all of us to be able to achieve this and grow together. Together, we can challenge the status quo, rewrite the narrative, and create a more inclusive and empowering future for all African men. Let's redefine what it means to be a man, and let's start defining it as being human. So thank you for joining me on this journey. Until next time, go check out our questions on our Snapchat, which is To Be Frank 2024. Text me. Let me know what you're going through. Let's talk about it. Let's find you the resources. Follow us on Instagram as well at To Be Frank Podcast. Until next time, continue to be frank. Thank you.